is Radio Gaga.
What is it with that?
It's from that hot new jam from that new band that everybody's talking about.
Yeah, that band that plays the music.
Should probably get started soon.
Yeah, let's, how about we start it now?
And that's as good a cue as any to start this show. Welcome to episode 5, is it, of This Side Up, the official podcast of StealthyBox.com. I am your host and editor-in-chief, Joe Garcia, and I'm joined by Jack.
Hey.
And Krista is back.
Hey, guys.
Holy cow, we've got a complete cast for the podcast.
Holy cow.
Once again, it's been 3 long, arduous weeks. Crystalis. We've
No.
made it. We've done it.
Ay caramba. I'm back.
All is right with the universe. Everything is set. And I have no transition to that from that. That's all I had.
Was
I'm out of
perfect.
goops. How are you
Well,
guys, huh? It's been quite a week, I think. For me.
my goodness, the week isn't over yet. It's still going.
Well, I mean, since the last show.
Yeah.
That's the only week that matters.
That's the
The
only
only
week
thing that
that
matters.
matters.
So, should we talk about news now? I think we should talk about
Oh,
news now.
okay. I mean, you could just,
Yeah, let's
yeah.
bring on the news.
I mean, yeah, just go ahead. Screw it.
All right. So, basically, we have a release window for the new Xbox that's coming out. Basically, it's going to be revealed on May 21st.
Yeah, that is official.
That much is official, and it's supposed to come out in November. The always online aspect, which I know a lot of people don't like. Actually, I don't know anyone who likes it. is they're pretty adamant about not dispelling that notion. And it's going to have a $500 price tag with a $300 Xbox Live subscription option.
Wait, $300?
Yeah, I think what it is it's a 500 normally, and then like 300 plus you have to sign like a
Oh,
contract.
that's right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I remember. All right.
Yeah. And so it's going to
Ugh.
have a Blu-ray drive.
Well, these are all rumors, so
Yeah,
stuff that.
again, none of this is confirmed. This will all be sorted out May
Yeah,
21st,
this is a
hopefully.
report from Paul Surratt, and this is the guy who predicted that Microsoft would be revealing it on May 21st, or he had a source tell him that. And
Yes.
so these sources are the ones telling him all this other new information.
Right, okay.
So it's also going to have an OS based on Microsoft's Windows 8, which is the devil incarnate. It's the worst operating, I can't. So I'm not excited about that if it because I hate Windows 8 with a passion. They are going to be talking about the next Xbox's developer platform at the Build conference in June. I don't know what the Build conference is. I've never heard of that.
Me neither, but I'm guessing it's just a game developer thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
And they will share the launch lineup of games at their E3 press conference. Yeah, the Build sort of sounds like Nintendo Direct, I
No,
guess.
Build sounds more like GDC, but on a smaller scale.
Well, I mean, is the Build conference just them?
Build
Or is.
is basically just like a developer kind of shindig where they get to
Oh, okay,
interact
so
with
it's
each
multiple.
other and.
Okay, I thought it was just like a Microsoft thing. But speaking of Nintendo Direct, so Nintendo is not going to have a big press conference at E3. They're going to have a few smaller venues, things you can check out. They're going to have a closed hands-on presentation, and then they're going to have one for American distributors, and they're going to have one for the gaming media. But it's not going to be a big spectacle of a thing. I think this is a huge mistake, personally.
Don't they usually always have a booth at E3, Nintendo?
Well, no, they have a booth. They're going to have a booth. They just won't be having a press conference like they usually do before the show.
Yeah, they're not.
Booth. That was the wrong word. Like a conference. They usually have a conference at E3.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think. I don't think that at least in my recent memory, that any major console publisher or creator has elected to do that.
No, I can't either. This is weird.
It's very weird. I don't understand. I mean, it's such a good place to make announcements and everything. I don't understand why they decide not to do it.
Yeah, like, for everybody going to E3 this year, everybody's pretty much excited to hear about, you know, the new Xbox, the new PS4. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they're just afraid of being overshadowed, but it seems like that's exactly where they should be fighting back, trying to get the Wii U to get, you know, decent footing in people's homes and whatnot.
Exactly. Right. If they show up, there's a chance they could be overshadowed. If they don't show up, they're definitely going to be overshadowed.
I mean, people are saying that with these Nintendo Directs that are coming pretty much every couple of months or every few weeks or whatever it is, whenever Nintendo feels like doing it, they feel that, you know, they don't need something like E3, but at the same time, E3 is where a lot of the mainstream press, like, you know, Time Magazine and USA Today and Parade Magazine, all this stuff, that's where they get most of their information, is at E3. They're not the ones watching Nintendo Directs, like, you know, a lot of the games enthusiast press.
Right, right. The gaming-centric media outlets will be covering Nintendo, will be looking at the Nintendo Direct stuff, but the ones that only kind of cover gaming, i.e. the much more mainstream ones, definitely will be 83. And I think also Nintendo Direct, the problem with Nintendo Direct is that you're really only targeting like Nintendo gamers.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Whereas E3, you're gonna have to want to try and get everyone into their thing. So I think Nintendo Direct is cool, and I think they should keep doing it, but at the same time, I don't think it's even close to being an adequate replacement for an E3 conference. And if I remember correctly, maybe they didn't do great last year, but there was one year in the past few years where they wiped the floor with Microsoft and Sony.
I think it was 2 years ago when they announced that Kirby's Epic Yarn and Donkey Kong Country Returns and all this cool stuff.
Because last year,
I mean, they could be expanding with this, and it's just like they won't be able to, or they're not going to.
Yeah, because I mean, the thing about E3 is that, I mean, having an E3 press conference, that's 90 solid minutes where all the attention is squarely on you. Whereas, you know, these Nintendo Directs, they're great, but they usually occur like in the morning on like a Tuesday at 8 a.m. It's like people on the West Coast, it's at 6 a.m. for them. Everybody's at school or at work or asleep. It's like, who are you talking to? With these
and also, you won't have anyone scrambling to see those Nintendo Directs when they come out. But E3, I mean, for as long as I can remember, the past few years, I've been trying to watch them live via stream. And Sony definitely proved with their conference where they revealed the PS4 that people are willing to watch these conferences live if it's interesting enough.
Right, like
there were a lot of people watching that conference.
Yeah, like I remember E3, 2011. My job, I work really early in the morning and I get off pretty early, you know, pretty much right at noon. But I wanted to make sure that I got home in time for, you know, all the E3 stuff right after, and I ended up getting a speeding ticket on the way home and ended up wasting more time. I mean, that's the kind of thing that E3 does, that, you know, people were rushing to get home or rushing to their computers to be able to watch a stream.
Yeah, I definitely would too. I mean, I never watched the live stream, but I mean, afterwards, I'll watch them and I wouldn't miss that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big spectacle. It's fun.
I remember I would get with a bunch of friends on either Skype or like Tiny Chat or something, and we'd all watch the same stream at the same time. And
that's the way to do it.
Just kind of comment on it. Snapchat. Yeah, yeah. And and it was like a, it was like an event. Like, did any of you guys watch the Nintendo Direct live? No, because I mean, I didn't even watch the video. I think the only interaction I've even had with that event was last week when Joe and I were running through the stuff they mentioned. I didn't watch it. I was just reading it off the Stealthy
recapping.
Box.
I tried to watch
it. I didn't watch any
but
of
it. But I couldn't because I was at work. What I did was I streamed it on my phone and listened and plugged the phone into my car radio and just listened to it that way.
I have a question.
Sure.
The article here where you have the no Nintendo press conference, why is he holding a bunch of bananas?
You know, I don't know. That was just the funniest picture that I found of him, and it's as nonsensical as the announcement. So I was like, there you go. Satoru Iwata.
Maybe it's Donkey Kong related.
Holding a bunch of bananas. Probably. I don't know.
It's possible. There was that one fruit company that made Donkey Kong brand bananas.
All I know is that this news bit is bananas.
I like that, actually. I approve of that.
You approve of the banana?
I approve of that. You know, Alfred Hitchcock said puns are the highest form of literature.
Did he really say that?
He did, actually. I'm not even kidding. He did. And I know, I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? That's absolutely untrue. But, you know, he said it, so...
Puns are amazing and awful all at the same time.
You're not going to argue with Alfred Hitchcock.
I love finding a good pun and just groaning.
That is
the highest compliment I can pay a good pun, is it being awful and making me make an audible noise, just go, ugh.
That's the best. That's when you know it's good.
Oh, yeah.
Let's move on.
So the next bit of news is a set of three Grand Theft Auto 5 trailers. So there's one for each character.
Yeah, Michael, Frank, and Trevor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so Michael is a family man, I guess, who does some questionable things.
Career criminal, I believe.
Yes, and then you have Franklin, who's kind of your generic ghetto-type person, but it's based on the trailer, it seems like he's trying to get out of that lifestyle.
Right.
Based on a few of the things he says in the trailer, a few bits of dialogue. And then you have Trevor, who's... He's like this dude who just like could not give less of a fuck about anything. And he's like a real jerk. Like, he beats people up, and he basically is like, if they took the average gamer playing Grand Theft Auto and based on what that player did in the game, i.e. running over hookers, up random people, all that stuff, if they actually made that into a real character in the game, that would be Trevor. I guess that's the best way I can explain it. Is Trevor is you when you're playing Grand Theft Auto. And these trailers, they look awesome. The game looks visually looks very nice.
And the music is always so good.
Yeah, they do a good job with the music. I went back and I played Vice City. I bought it recently. It sucks.
You suck. Like, how dare you?
Oh, goodness.
I'm sorry. I can't go back.
I am angry at you saying that out loud.
Oh, don't be angry at Chad.
We've got to do something like that at least once an episode, right? Where you get pissed at me for not liking
Yeah, I know.
Good Lord.
Just like back in the first episode, we got to keep it rolling.
I do like Ray Liotta, though, so... That's a plus with that game. I don't know if there's any famous voice acting in this.
I haven't seen anything confirmed, but
yeah, I'll have to look into that. Because I always like when they have celebrities. Okay, so next up, EA
All
is shutting.
Over here is Radio Gaga.
That was the best transition. Oh my goodness!
You are the king of transitions. You just
I know.
Can you just sing falsetto between
every song? That's all I've got.
All right. So Game Informer is reporting from various sources that EA is going to get rid of their EA Partners publishing branch, And EA Partners is responsible for the stuff that they're not developing internally, which would be stuff like Crysis. What else? There's Orange Box and Portal 2 on the consoles, Brutal Legend, the Rock Band series, Kingdoms of Amalur. They have been having some economic troubles. They haven't made the best decisions as of late with the online passes and the always online DRM with SimCity.
Yeah.
So they haven't been making the best decisions. And also, back like in 08 when they started making good games, like games that were different, it didn't always pay off financially. Stuff like Mirror's Edge did not have the financial support from the fans, and that kind of hurt them a little bit. So the good news, though, is that it will not be affecting Fuse, which is the Insomniac Games title, and it won't be affecting the one that Respawn Entertainment is making.
I'm actually pretty excited for Fuse, personally.
I don't know why.
I just really want to play it. The trailer made it look really good.
When it was called, what was it, like Afterstrike or something?
Overstrike. But
Overstrike.
Yeah. There,
and but, like, I don't know. The new stuff just looks a little more generic.
I guess it kind of does. I don't know. I just, something in the trailer got me hooked, and I was like, oh, I really want to try this game.
Well, you're talking about the first trailer that came out.
Yes. Where they have
the bubble gun at the end.
Was that it? I think that was it, yeah.
The thing where, like, it would shoot the expanding, like, foam stuff. And then the guy would blow up. Yeah, I mean, it looked cool at first. I don't know. Just based on what I've seen from, like, screenshots of, like, how it looks now, it looks a little more generic. But,
right. See,
I do trust Insomniac. For the most part, they've made good games. You know, aside from, like, Resistance 1. But other than that... So I'm glad that's not being affected, and I really hope this isn't true.
Well, they laid off a sizable chunk of their workforce right after this report went up, so, yep.
Yeah. I guess it is true. And also, you know, Riccatello left recently, and I think he said that it wasn't because of any monetary problems with the company or because of the bad rep they've been getting. But I really have a hard time believing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy is obviously not as bad as Kotick, but he didn't have the best reputation with gamers.
I'd argue that Kotick is a much better CEO.
Oh, yeah, he's as a businessman, yeah. But, I mean, who actually likes that guy?
I think he's all right.
I think he's...
Like, he's not a liar. I'll give him that much. Like, one John Riccatello.
I don't know.
I'll give him that much credit.
You're just very torn on this guy. Just don't know.
Like, I remember John Riccatello when they launched their Origin service on PC however long ago. They're like, well, yeah, we'd never do something like that without, you know, like, discounting games or anything. Because, you know, there's no middleman, you know? And then what do they do? Like, all the games are $59.99. It's like, oh, okay, good. You went back on that immediately. All these online passes, he's not responsible for that, so yeah.
I guess. I don't know. To me, it just seemed like, because Riccatello was a gamer, I believe, and Kotick has very plainly stated that it's like he's not a gamer. And
well, not anymore, but he started as a gamer before he moved on to the business end of things. It's just hard. It's hard to run a majorly successful Fortune 500 company while also playing video games a lot.
Yeah.
No, Riccatello. Okay, maybe.
Look.
I don't know. I just some of the stuff that Kotick says just really bugs me. Like, he just seems so. And he's a CEO, so he's probably going to be greedy by nature, but I just don't like the guy. Anyway. Actually, this would tie right into Activision. Call of Duty Ghosts.
Ghosts.
Ghosts. What is this, like Scooby-Doo or something? Like, ghosts.
So there's an anonymous... Is tipster a word? That's what it has in your article. Is that a thing? I didn't know tipster was like... Tipster.
Have you not read a newspaper in the last 3,800 years?
I haven't read anything ever.
That has to be a lie.
So IGN was sent a promotional GameStop poster for Call of Duty Ghosts that says it will be released November 5th, 2013. One thing I like about the November 5th release date is that they're not trying to be clever with it. Like, you remember, like, the past few years, they were like, oh, it's going to be on, like, 10, 11, 12? Huh? And everyone was like, no.
That is so snazzy. I don't even... That's and stupid.
I expected a November 12th release date, which would make sense, because that's a week after November 5th.
Right.
It'd be 11, 12, 13. And I was just so excited for the day when they could no longer do that, because it wouldn't work on the calendar, which I think would be like 2015 would 2014 would be the last year they could do it.
So
the poster has a dude putting on a mask. It looks like Ghost's mask. Ghost was a character in Modern Warfare 2. He was a pretty cool character. I mean, I like the design of him. He didn't have much personality to him, but it's a Call of Duty game, so none of the characters ever really had personality to them. But I do remember around when Modern Warfare 2 came out that a lot of people were asking for a Ghost spinoff, and then there were rumors that there was going to be a Ghost spinoff. This could very easily be a Ghost spinoff, possibly involving, and this is just me throwing out an idea, possibly involving like an elite squad of people who wear masks, the mask squad. I don't know. That's just what it seems like, because I think Modern Warfare Ghost was kind of like a special agent dude. But not anymore.
Not anymore.
You guys think?
I think you should not do that mischievous voice ever again.
No. I don't know what to think. I've never really been that impressed or swayed by Call of Duty.
Well, it's a fine series, but it's been years since any Call of Duty game was going to change anyone's opinion on the series, either way. If you already love the series, this will probably keep giving you what you like. And if you don't care about it, then this will probably give you nothing new.
He makes a good point with that. I have to agree.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really done much to deviate the formula. I think the last one I bought was World at War, and the rest I've just borrowed from people. Like, the campaigns are usually fun to breeze through. I can't get into the multiplayer. I don't like that kind of, I guess it would be like Twitch gameplay, you know, where it's like really fast paced. I like slower, like Rainbow Six or Battlefield or something like that. But yeah, Call of Duty Ghosts seems legit. And
I keep hearing that there is going to be a proper reveal tomorrow on May 1st during the NBA playoffs, during some game. Probably like they did last year, a commercial during. Like 1 minute ad during one of the games. So keep an eye out for that.
They expect me to watch the NBA playoffs for that?
It'll be on YouTube.
I know, just to see the trailer.
It'll be on YouTube immediately after.
Yeah, that's true.
But you'll get to watch it in glorious HD right on your TV like a jerk.
Like a jerk.
Yeah, I'm sure there is going to be someone who's not even interested in basketball that's going to sit through like the whole game just to watch the trailer or however long it is. Until that trailer shows up.
Well, yeah, the really dedicated people will definitely sit and watch. They'll be too excited to miss it.
So next up is an artist who works for Gearbox trashed the Dragon's Crown design for their Amazon and Sorceress characters. Now, Dragon's Crown, I don't know too much about it. Joe, you know more about it than me, right?
Yeah.
I would guess.
So, I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with Dragon's Crown at all, but the game has been garnering a lot of attention for its art direction, but for the most part, it's been pretty negative, based on two very, let's say, peculiar character designs for both the Sorceress and the Amazon.
Very perky designs.
Have you seen these, Krista, at all?
I have not. No, I haven't seen them yet.
Oh, boy.
Although the word perky, I don't know what to think when I hear
well,
that.
Well, go ahead and just Google that, I guess. Dragon's Crown Sorceress, Dragon's Crown Amazon, and be blown away.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, these outfits for these characters...
Is it raunchy? Okay, I'm looking this up right now.
Yes, it's raunchy, and it is... entirely objectifying. It is basically the Amazon chick. She looks like the chick on the cover of the first Elder Scrolls game, Elder Scrolls Arena. If anyone has played that, you can look up the box art and the woman, but with even less clothing than that somehow. And really, she's...
Oh my god!
There you go.
She's wearing a bikini.
Hold on. Now, this is serious. Like, although, you know, some people play like this because in games like Skyrim and stuff, there are mods for armor for female characters that have them wearing practically nothing. So part of me isn't surprised, but the other part of me just... This is ridiculous. Oh my goodness.
Well, those Skyrim mods are things that are unofficial things that fans go out of their way to do, whereas this is baked right into the game, right for you to access with the touch of a button.
No, but I think what she's trying to say is that male gamers deep down are all perverts.
Which... No, not all of them. No,
that's not entirely untrue. It's just, I mean, and also you got to question the practicality of wearing that.
I mean, I just don't know what is going through the designer's head when he's thinking of this. Like,
I don't think it's about what's going through their head. I think it's about what's going through another organ that's thinking about this. It's, yeah, and so a lot of people are annoyed. The Gearbox guy said it was designed by a five-year-old. It definitely was, or no, fifth grader, my bad. Fifth grader, not five-year-old. That'd be a little creepy for a five-year-old.
Yeah, that's what to say. Five-year-old draws stuff like this.
And boy, oh boy, you should check out the comments on this article.
Yes. So actually talking to Joe earlier.
It is a shit show of anti-humanity.
People are crap. They're like, how dare you criticize them? It's their choice. Like, it's their choice to completely objectify their characters. Of course it's their choice. It's a free country. That doesn't mean you can't criticize it. He's not saying they shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Right.
It's just, it's...
Like, I pointed out...
I mean, some things are just too much. This is too much.
Like,
you don't do this.
Like, I pointed out in the article, after all the facts and whatnot, I editorialized a bit, and I was like, I've got a buddy of mine. He gets his daughter every other week or so, and she's an avid gamer. She's, I think, in seventh grade, so she's, like, 11 or 12 years old. And, you know, she doesn't play crap like Imagine Fashion Designer and she plays, you know, stuff like Little Big Planet. She likes, you know, watching The Walking Dead and stuff like that. Whatever. She's very mature for age, is what I'm saying.
How old is she?
She's in seventh grade, I believe. So
seventh grade, yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, this is going to be a teen-rated game, I believe. So it's not, like, out of her, I guess, gaming range or whatever.
About 13, yeah. Something like that.
And, like, one of the guys in the comments was like, why would you be playing a teen-rated game with... Well, the kid is like, because of what I just said.
Yeah.
I mean, this game, she's mature for her age, but at the same time, she's like, I'm not sure how much exposure she's gotten to stuff like this, where characters are clearly very clearly designed, you know, with only the male mindset or whatever.
That's like Lollipop Chainsaw. When I was at PAX, I swear I saw a 10-year-old girl dressed up as her.
Well, I think with Lollipop Chainsaw, that almost aims to parody the...
I don't know, but it's still wrong.
I mean, granted, it parodies it by doing it, but it's... I think that was meant more as, like... I think that was meant more as a parody of the fact that you have these characters like Bayonetta or, like... What was that game? Blade Witch?
X-Blade?
Or no, there was, oh no, Bullet Witch. Bullet Witch. I don't know if anyone remembers that. It was horrible. But like it had this scantily clad chick. Oh yeah, X-Blades, which was like Jailbait.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
That was like Jailbait Central. She was like 12 years old, that the girl in that game.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I definitely have a problem with them only completely ignoring their other demographic. And especially because it's one of those things, like, is adding on clothes really going to make the game that much different? Is someone going to be like, I'm going to knock points because of these characters?
Like, and so, the game is also going to be, like, portable. It's going to be on the PS3, but it's also going to come out on Vita. Like, I'd be fucking embarrassed to play this game on the train with one of these characters.
Who wants to be that creep on the subway?
Like,
I can't get away from these titties.
I got to play them on a train.
Yeah, and God, what about the touchscreen? What are you going to do with the touchscreen?
Like, man.
Oh my gosh, don't dirty. Say that.
That's going to be dirty. Dirty boy. And teen is not even that, like, teen is not that exclusive of a rating. I mean, they're not going to check ID for teen.
Right.
So.
No, they never do.
Right, it's M is really the exclusive rating. Everything else is fair game. So it's not like as Joe said, like a seventh grader would definitely be able to get their hands on this. It's not an M thing where a seventh grader wouldn't be easily able to get their hands on it. And it is very very sexist, I should say. And I think gamers, I think there is a lot of sexism towards female characters in gaming, not to sound like feminist frequency, but there is, and I think gamers refuse to admit it. That does not mean gamers are sexist, it just means that game writers can be very lazy.
This is blatant
objectification. That's not laziness, that's just like that I can't condone, but it's not like representative of the whole industry. I think a lot of times people get lazy with their characters because it's not like a film or a book where story comes first. The fundamentals of a game, I would say, is the gameplay, and that's what they focus more on. But I mean, hope the game still does look good. And did you see the sorceress character too, Krista?
I think I did, but I was too distracted by the other things that I saw. I forgot about it.
Because I just recently watched the Sorceress trailer, and she's jumping around, and the gazong, like, they, like, draw your attention because she's moving, and there's so much jiggle. It's ridiculous. I do realize I sound like someone on To Catch a Predator, but
I know, this is just ridiculous. Like, I'm trying not to laugh extremely hard right now.
It's like Dead or Alive extreme levels of boobage.
I can't
get behind that. Anyway.
Enough about boobage and jiggling. This is just, let's move on. I think we should move on.
Okay. Watch Dogs trailer, and the release date is November 21st.
Word.
And Watch Dogs is, of course, a game that it's a new IP from Ubisoft, and it's been building a lot of hype. I think was it shown at VGAs or E3?
E3
initially. Yeah. Oh yeah, they had that press conference, right? And it was shown at E3 at their press conference, and it looks cool. It's basically like you're walking around this city and you can hack into traffic lights to change the flow of traffic. There's one gameplay bit where you can like raise these little like car stops, like speed bumps, and you can like completely fuck with cars.
Yeah.
And you can hack people's ATM accounts. And so it's an open world thing where there's a lot of technological involvement, and it looks pretty cool, and I think a lot of people are really excited for it. I actually was not a firm believer of this game until recently. I think until their last trailer. I think it was at the Sony PS4 conference.
It looks really impressive. Just the environment and the controls, just everything looks incredible.
Yeah, it really does look good. And so November 21st.
Yeah.
Pick it up. Pre-order.
Do it. Definitely.
Next bit of news. The Bureau XCOM Declassified. So this was the XCOM game that was... Oh, XCOM is traditionally a real-time strategy game.
Right, like Enemy Unknown that came out last year.
Right, Enemy Unknown came out last year to a lot of critical acclaim. This, on the other hand, was originally... It was just called XCOM, and it was originally a first-person shooter, and there was gameplay footage
of it. It was also revealed much longer ago than Enemy Unknown was. Like, Enemy Unknown was announced one, like, in January or something, and then it came out, like, months later. Everybody's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. it was announced less than a year, but XCOM, the shooter, was announced years ago, and they even had gameplay, so obviously it was very far along in development. But now it is being rebranded as the Bureau XCOM Declassified. I would guess the name change is so people don't think it is like a main XCOM game, because it really isn't, because it completely abandons everything that XCOM is about.
They relegated the word XCOM to the subtitle, so that could tell you.
Right. And it is also a third-person shooter now.
Mm-hmm. And it comes out August 20th, I believe, which is the same day as Saints Row 4. So,
good luck selling any copies.
Yeah, I know. I see it not even matching, but...
Weird choice.
And so you can bring customizable squad mates into squad-based tactical battles to fight the alien invaders. And there will be characters in... Was it from Enemy Unknown?
Yes.
Okay, and... There will also be permanent death. So if a squad mate dies, they're gone for good. It's something that was in...
Enemy Unknown.
I think Unknown. And it's also been in other games, like Fire Emblem has a system like that.
Right.
Hey, don't get it twisted, buddy. XCOM's been around way longer than Fire Emblem hit. Or actually maybe just... not. I don't know. I actually don't know what I'm talking about.
NES or Super Nintendo. Something like that.
Either way, I think I've exhausted my reserves of caring about XCOM.
Yeah, it's one of those things I don't think they've really built up enough hype to really reignite the franchise. Just a few games here and there. I haven't seen any of the third-person gameplay. If it's anything like the first-person gameplay, I don't think it'll be that special. The first-person gameplay really didn't stick out. It looked just fine. So, in conclusion, does anyone care? All right, moving on.
No, not really.
Next up, Rayman Legends gets release date. So, originally, I think it should have come out already on Wii U. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was pretty much already completed in time for its March release. But Ubisoft saw how terribly the Wii U has been selling, so they decided to port it to PS3 and Xbox 360 as well. But rather than release it just on Wii U, they decided to hold off on it and just kind of release them all simultaneously.
Right. August 27th in North America, August 30th in Europe, which is actually better than what was projected before, which was September. Right.
Yeah, and it's definitely a better idea to release it on multiple consoles instead of the Wii U, because that really doesn't sell a lot compared to other consoles.
Yeah, it makes sense to port it, but if they're going to port it, they could, as Joe said, do the Wii U release as it was supposed to be and then just say, okay, it'll come out on PS3 and 360 later.
I mean, on the plus side, all the versions are going to be getting 30 more levels than was originally going to be planned on just the Wii U, so that's, I guess, fine.
So the Wii U version's also getting those additions. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's good.
The Wii U's also got a couple of demos already.
Yes,
I
played.
I played. God, it was like a. It was like a thing where you're like, there's like a medieval castle background, and it's playing a song, and you're running through, and like every time you hit the enemy, it kind of coincides with the song. It was really fun.
Yeah, it's
actually
a goddamn gorgeous game.
Yeah, it's cool. Honestly, I wasn't in love with
wow,
Origins,
you were
so
saying everything terrible and wrong today.
I know, you're getting Joe so upset today.
This was a lot more fun for me. I enjoyed it. I didn't hate Origins. I wasn't, like, everyone loved it. I just thought it was
convince
good.
Convince me not to hang up on you right now.
Because then I think the podcast would be over.
No, I can hang out on individual people. I can hang out on just you.
So, also, there is a free Wii U Online Challenges app on the eShop. I don't know much about that. I'm guessing it's like minigames?
It's actually the full Online Challenges mode from the full game.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, at least they're doing something to compensate for
not having the game out.
Yes, for the delay. And Wii U owners, all 12 of them, will not be super super upset, and they'll have a little bit of something to keep them occupied. So next up, actually, this is one that hurts me right in the soul. Kevin Conroy, Batman Arkham Origins, the prequel, he's not going to be in it. And of course, was the voice of Batman in Batman the Animated Series, and he voiced Batman more than anyone else. He's played Batman more than any other person.
1994.
Yeah, and he's been in the first two Arkham games. Was he in Injustice?
Mm-hmm. But your sweet ass he was.
Was he in Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe? Yep. DC Universe Online?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, okay. So why would he do all that and then not return?
Well, I mean,
it's possible he just burnt out.
No, the logic here is that, according to the story where this was sourced from, the developer, which is Warner Brothers Montreal, wanted to use a younger voice actor since it's a prequel, you know, younger Bruce Wayne and Batman. They still haven't mentioned who that new actor is, but I guess, you know, I can't fault them for that logic, but still kind of sucks.
Because it's, you know, Mark Hamill's not going to be in it either as Joker, but assuming they have the story. Arlene Sorkin left after the first game, and she was Harley Quinn. And
Tara Strong replaced her, which is fine. She's great.
And Tara Strong did a very good job with Harley Quinn, but, I mean, the animated series is one of my favorite cartoons ever, and so I just really liked having that cast there. If they do a younger Batman, it would be cool if they could get the guy who voiced Terry in Batman Beyond.
That would be interesting.
I think that'd be cool, just play a younger Batman. So there isn't a lot that's been going right for this game, because it's also not being developed by Rocksteady.
Yeah.
Right,
a whole lot of
weird
red flags that keep me from getting super excited about it.
Sure, it would be a fine game, but I don't think it's going to stack up to the first two.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, it might have been on Twitter, or we might have mentioned on a podcast, you said you were much more interested in the portable one.
The Metroidvania game.
And after hearing this news, I would be inclined to agree with you now, because to me, you're just removing everything that made the game so awesome.
Right.
You have don't have Batman anymore. You have a guy voicing Batman. Because Kevin Conroy is Batman.
Right, and there are a few like animated features that I've seen where he's not Batman, and it's always the first thing I notice. It's like, ah.
Yeah. Same with the Joker. I watched Batman Under the Red Hood, and they had Was it Joe DiMaggio?
Not Joe DiMaggio. Is it John DiMaggio? I think it's John. I don't think it's Joe. Joe's a baseball player.
Okay, John then. I can't remember.
Yeah, all I hear is Marcus Phoenix. Get to the resume or whatever.
Bender from Futurama. Mm-hmm.
Joe DiMaggio.
It's Joe DiMaggio.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I want to say, yeah.
I
don't know.
I don't remember. I thought it was Joe also. And he also plays Jake in Adventure Time.
John? Yeah, it's John. John DiMaggio.
Okay, John DiMaggio. So now that super important detail is out of the way, he was the Joker in Batman Under the Red Hood, and it just was so weird because he has like a gravelly voice, and it is when you hear someone who is not Kevin Conroy or Mark Hamill, it is the first thing you notice. They had Jeremy Sisto from Law and Order doing one of the Batmans, and it just sounded so wrong. Like, it wasn't bad, it was just wrong. Last up is the Injustice Lobo DLC trailer and release date. So, Injustice, Gods Among Us, is getting a new character, Lobo. Is he a Batman villain?
He's been mostly in Superman stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, they showed off the trailer at C2E2 where I went to at a panel. And he's super fun, super goofy, like, brawler character. The first of four characters that they're going to be releasing is DLC.
Did they?
Well, not yet. But I'm guessing they'll let us know soon after Lobo comes out. But yeah, he looks fun. You should check it out. On spellhitbox.com. Got a trailer there for you to look at.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's good that they're supporting the game as much as they are. They did a pretty good job supporting Mortal Kombat. So now on to new releases.
Ooh, new releases. There are a lot of them. Well, I don't know. Not really too many, but the list
there are several.
Is pretty lengthy.
Yeah, there's several, but not many notable ones.
Right, not as many as you would think. For the PlayStation Vita, we have Soul Sacrifice being released.
Dope, but I don't know anything about it.
It actually, I didn't play a lot of the demo. I watched somebody else play it, and it actually looks pretty interesting, although I don't completely understand the concept of the game
yet. Yeah, I played
yet.
About 30 minutes. I'm like, what? Okay.
But it's good because you get to keep the data from the demo when you get the actual game.
Yeah.
So if you do play the demo, play it as much as you can before you buy the game because it will help you when you get it. And then we also have, for the PlayStation 3, Deadly Premonition, the director's cut, being released.
We'll get back to that because we know Jack has a lot to say about it.
Yes,
oh,
I love
goodness.
That game.
Also on the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. Is that a DLC?
It's actually a standalone thing. That
$15.
Yeah, it's just weird because they kept the Far Cry 3 name in there.
I was looking at that, like, DLC.
Yeah, but you can play it without. You can play it without Far Cry 3.
Next up, also on the PSN and the Xbox Live, is Poker Night 2. I know Joe played it. It looks kind of exciting, actually. I know Claptrap is in there.
He is.
I love Claptrap. last but not least, on the PS3 and the PlayStation Vita, we have Zombie Tycoon 2 being released.
Yeah, and that is free if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber.
Oh, that's not bad. That'll be a good reason for people to just
check it out.
Go out and get it.
Check it out. What excuse do you have?
Yeah.
None.
None. Not anymore. It's free.
So let's see. Chris, do you have time to talk at all, or do you have to go?
I have to go now.
Okay. See you later.
Okay. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye.
All right.
So, anyway, about Deadly Premonition, I am a huge, huge champion of that game. When it came out, it was like one of the most polarizing games, probably of this generation.
It got a 10 on Destructoid.
Got a 10 on Destructoid, and then when it came out, IGN gave it a 2.
Yeah.
But then what's funny is IGN UK gave it like a 7.5 and the director's cut got a 7. It's one of those things. It's like Twin Peaks, the David Lynch show. Very weird. A little bit of Twilight Zone. And it plays like Resident Evil, and it's almost a parody of survival horror. It is like the B movie of video games, like not the Jerry Seinfeld B movie. I mean, like, no, the B movie video game is that B movie of video games. It's I would almost compare it somewhat to like Evil Dead. Like the original, like Sam Raimi trilogy, that kind of was a horror, but there was a lot of elements of comedy and there was a lot of campiness to it, or like Peter Jackson's Brain Dead. It's really stupid and it's really weird and it's so much fun. From what I hear, if you have played it on 360 already, there's really not much extra you get on PS3 except for some refined controls and a better camera and some few extra cutscenes that actually supposedly set it up for a sequel, which I would love to play. I didn't get a chance to finish Deadly Premonition. And if you haven't played it, it's out on PS3 now. It wasn't on PS3 before, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
If you like cheesy horror, because it is one of the most unique and wonderful games I've played all generation.
Some of the improvements include, you know, things like HD textures, finally. I believe that wasn't a thing somehow.
It still looks like a Dreamcast game. I mean, but, yeah.
Like, the director's cut does include some sort of extra content. I'm not sure. The interesting thing is that the game... Oh, it's also got move support as well, if you've got that.
Really? I didn't know that.
So, yeah, there's a bunch of changes here. I'm not sure if it's enough to justify doubling the price over the original release in 2010, I believe. But...
2010 or 2011, yeah, something like that.
Either way, it's still much cheaper than your average game. So maybe check it out.
Yeah. So it's $40?
Yeah, it's $40. Available digitally as well, if you want to grab it on PSN.
Okay. Yeah, I would say if you have both consoles and you haven't played Deadly Premonition, get it on Xbox 360, because it was $20 when it came out and now it's probably even less. But if you really want those extra things, $40 is still a pretty good price for a game, a considerably large game. It is open world. There are side things you can do.
It's I believe it's an 11 gig game in terms of
And there's also, it's fun because like you can do all this mundane stuff. Like, you have to eat, you have to drink. It's one of those things. Okay. And what's funny is you have the option to shave. And if you don't shave, as the days go by, he actually does grow more and more facial hair. it's a completely useless feature of the game, but I approve. It's just like, you'll like it. I know I'm talking to a wide audience right now, but you'll like it.
Let's see, what else is out this week? We've got Far Cry 3. That looks crazy.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a parody of like 80s.
Yeah, I believe the year it's set in is 2007, but it's this crazy 80s vision of the year 2007. Post-apocalyptic.
The cutscenes are all like 16-bit stuff.
Yeah.
Got a retro look.
Yeah, like all the marketing too is pretty much straight out of the 80s. It's been pretty great to watch.
Yeah, I think they took it in a really cool direction as opposed to just tacking on DLC that wouldn't really have done anything new. This is like a really good way to keep the Far Cry 3 hype going. And again, as we said before, it is a standalone game. You don't need Far Cry 3. It's $15. It doesn't have as much exploration. It's a much smaller map than Far Cry 3. But again, for a quarter of the price,
hard to go wrong.
Yeah, it's hard to go wrong. It's a $15 game. You're not going to get the same breadth of world as you would for a $60 game. But it looks really cool.
Let's see, Poker Night 2. That actually came out last week on XBLA, but it was only on XBLA. And then on Friday, it came out on Steam. And it came out today on Tuesday, March, not March, April 30th, on PlayStation Network. And for some reason, the console releases are $5 more than the Steam release. Steam, it's, on Steam, it's $5, $10 on XBLA and PSN.
Now, you played it, right?
I haven't played it. I played the original game, and I was holding off to see how much the PlayStation Network release is going to be.
Okay.
And now that it's $10, I'll probably just pick it up on Steam.
And we did talk about it on a previous podcast, I believe.
Probably.
It's a poker game. You have Claptrap as a character. You have was it Sam from Sam and Max?
Yeah, it's Sam. It's Claptrap. It's Ash Campbell from
Ash Williams. Whatever. Yeah,
I can't. Yeah, I'm thinking Bruce about Campbell, Bruce yeah. Campbell. It's got from, Brock Sampson from The Venture from Brothers.
The Venture Brothers.
And
GLaDOS is the dealer. And is that all the characters? Are we missing
four
one?
Characters and then the dealer?
Okay. Yeah, so we're not missing anyone.
And yeah, like the main draw, like it's poker game, so you're still playing. You're playing either Texas Hold'em or whatever the other kind of poker is. It is. I don't remember exactly. But there's two types of poker, but the poker is pretty much not the focus of the game. It's mostly for you to be there as kind of part of, kind of just to hang out with those characters, see them interact with each other. Just kind of be there and see what kind of wacky dialogue they have between hands and, you know, in different circumstances.
Yeah. It's just basic poker, but the draw is the interactions.
With characters that otherwise would have zero to do with each other whatsoever.
Right. I think that's cool. And I always wonder why they pick, because that's a very, like, strange selection of characters, you know? It's like video game characters, right. A movie character, and a television cartoon character. I wonder if they were just grabbing whoever they could, if they like really had good ideas about how they could like have them interact with each other, like before they actually decided to go out and get the characters.
You know, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it looks fun. we did review it on stealthybox.com. I believe we gave it a 9. I actually looked that up to make sure that's true. But it was a very positive score. Very positive.
It was a positive score. Yeah. I thought it was a 9.5, but it might have been a 9.5. Yeah, if you like poker, play it. If you don't like poker, get a friend who likes poker and play it anyway. Because you're not going to want to miss out on the interactions. And then Zombie Tycoon, I think we both said neither of us really know much about that.
No, but it's free and we'll check it out later. It's a 9.5. Yeah, you're right.
It's a 9.5. Yeah. Jack 1, Joe 0. Next up are the features.
We had some interesting stuff happen on the website this week, I guess. Last week, I guess the most notably for me is that last week, Microsoft decided to partner up with Pizza Hut and release an app that would allow you to use the Xbox 360 and Kinect if you have one. To build and order your own pizza pie.
Yes.
And the day it came out, I was like, this is dumb. But I saw that this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. But I also saw the little corner advertisement on the Xbox Live dashboard. It's like 15% off all orders through the Xbox app. I was like, okay, I'm both hungry and cheap right now. I will try this. And I tried ordering a pizza. And spent an hour failing at ordering a pizza. Did not happen. I tried using it and did not work. I kept getting this weird error saying no location ID found, which didn't make any sense to me because, I mean...
Do you know for a fact that there's a Pizza Hut
in
your area?
Yeah, I've ordered from the Pizza Hut that I...
Oh!
several times. And it's so cumbersome because you have to... You can't enter your credit card information... through the Xbox. You have to have a PizzaHut.com account already linked, and you have to have the information stored there. And once you do that, you can go back to your Xbox and order a pizza, and then confirm the order that way. But I kept getting this error, and that didn't make sense, because like I said, there's the Pizza Hut that I've ordered from before. I tr- I double and triple checked both addresses, both the Pizza Hut and mine. Worked out fine, and that was about 20 minutes into it, doing that, trying to build this pizza with a goddamn Xbox 360 controller. So I went to Twitter, ended up going on Twitter, sent out a snarky tweet over to Xbox Live's Major Nelson. He seemed to be like the expert for the job. So I tweeted him, and Xbox support got back at me, and they asked me what the error was exactly. And I was like, okay, I'll see if they have a legitimate answer to this problem that under no circumstances whatsoever should even exist.
Yes, you had a very entertaining Twitter time.
Yes, like, okay.
I love the pictures that you took of your screen that it like wasn't even working. Yeah, so I mean, first of all, I hate Pizza Hut. I think it's gross.
Yeah, it's mostly pretty gross. I mean, but hold on a second. Before we get to the quality of the pizza that Pizza Hut sells, let me just resolve this story. Like, I heard back from Xbox support. They're like, what's the error? I was like, it's this weird location error. And they're like, and here's a quote from Xbox support to one of the many accounts that they have because of all the questions. And he said, I'm not sure. You'd need to get a hold of the store in order to figure that part out. So his solution was to call the store. Amazing.
Which you could have done in.
It's amazing. So, yeah, I was like, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and have some ramen or something. Because I've wasted an hour and I haven't eaten anything.
So, some idiot is going to call them, get help on the Xbox app, and then go back to the Xbox app. Like, after he's already had them on the phone.
Yeah, it's like, I guess, I mean, I don't know. It's like, that's not worth the 15%. So I was just...
No, especially because it's already pretty cheap, yeah. Pizza Hut. Like I was saying to you before, we were talking about it before we started recording. It's one of those things, like, if you're gaming, you're not going to want to stop your game to go to the Pizza Hut app and place your order and spend, you know, 3 days trying to place an order. It's easier to use a phone because you can dial the phone and you can call while also playing your game.
And you're done it's just in like, 2 minutes top.
And you're done in 2 minutes. Exactly. And then you can get cardboard pizza, you know, delivered to your door super fast. It's like when they did the Facebook and Twitter. They're like, you can tweet about the games you're playing. Well, if I go out of the game to enter the Twitter app and then tweet about what I'm playing, I'm not playing that game anymore.
And
so what's the purpose? It'd be one thing if like you could open up the guide and tweet right from there, but you couldn't do that.
I mean, that's one of the great things I like about the Vita is that you have that Twitter app and you can swap back and forth. You can take a screenshot of a game that you're playing. You can hop over to the Twitter app, open that up, tweet the screenshot you just took and go right back into the game when you're done.
Yeah, or I mean, even like smartphones are so widespread now in their popularity. I mean, the Twitter is on like every major smartphone operating system.
But this, like, it's so like you're just throwing technology at a problem that never existed in the first place. Like, it's like I can order pizza just fine through my computer or through my phone, and it'll take a fraction of the time.
Like, I understand that they want to make consoles into like an entertainment center, but that does not mean that you have to make it do everything.
Yeah, no, there
are some things that a phone is better suited.
Yeah, like it's such a weird sign that they're like, all right, like we're gonna go all in on this entertainment thing. It's like, can I just get a fucking game to play on my Xbox 360?
Yeah, yeah. Where are their games?
Like, I mean, they have games. Obviously, they're all coming from third parties, but I mean, like, I want Microsoft to make games again that aren't necessarily just Halo and Microsoft and Forza.
The guy in charge direct all game studios towards Pizza Hut research and development.
Yeah, like they've got Rare with one of the proudest histories in gaming history, like in one of the best categories
classics
in all of gaming history, and they've got them fucking make them Avatar items and Kinect sports. It's like, God,
what if they designed the Pizza Hut?
They might have, I don't know.
With a Pizza Hut app presented by Rare. Yeah. I mean, they made classics upon classics, and I don't think a Pizza Hut app is going to be a classic. and they didn't even have the dignity to do it with Papa John's, which is by far the best chain. Not that it's that good, but it's the best chain pizza, at least in my opinion.
I've never had Papa John's. I don't even know where there's one near me. I don't think there is one near me.
Well, I mean, when I get pizza, I just get like a local place.
Yeah, like they're like I live in Chicago. I live right here in Square.
Like, all right, you got the deep dish.
Literally, like set like the city block that I live on is saturated with pizza places to order from. So, Pizza Hut is literally like the 30th option.
Yeah, and I live in New York, so New York and Chicago are like the two big pizza places.
But I mean, I saw this thing. I saw this app go live. I saw the 15% discount. I saw the novelty. Like, I saw the potential for a stupid article on Stealthy Box. I was like, okay, I guess this is happening today. This is what I'm doing between 2 o'clock and 3:30, apparently.
2:30 the same day next week.
It's like, ah.
Like, the things you do, you are a brave journalist.
Yeah, this is what games journalism is really all about.
The things you do.
And, like, I mean, I got a surprising amount of positive feedback on the article. Like, it got a decent amount of traffic. I put it on M4G, and I got, like, 500 hits from there. I got a couple people randomly tweeting at me. They're like, wow, I left, like, some guy tweeted at me saying he laughed really hard when I CC'd Barack Obama on that Major Nelson tweet.
Did you get anyone who was, like, arguing with you? Like, no, what are you talking about, man? This is the best app ever.
No, that was actually quite good. I had
that would have been funny. And then you could have made an article on that, like a bunch of people arguing.
No, I know. There were only three comments on the article. One of them said that he had pretty much the exact same experience and he ended up ordering Domino's an hour later instead.
Domino's, right. You just go to the competition because you're so pissed. And then you call Pizza Hut and tell them that you ordered from Domino's because of that.
And yeah, man. I mean, at least Domino's has the pizza tracker that works. I've used it several times. It works. It's a fun novelty. It's like, hey, Ramon just made my pizza pie.
Oh, they have? I didn't know they had that. Does it have like a GPS, like as soon as it
there's
leaves?
No, well, there's you no can, GPS.
Like, satellite track your
no, there's
pizza.
No like, GPS tracker in the car, but I mean, they tell you like the step-by-step process, like order, receive, and like Pete is building your pizza, and Sarah put it in the oven. Ramon's doing the prep and check, and I don't know, Roger, he's out for delivery with your pizza.
Okay, I mean, on one hand, that does seem like overkill. Like, I don't need to know that step-by-step process, especially because they're making it seem like Domino's is cooking a pizza the normal way, and I know for a fact that they don't do that. But also, on the other hand, what if you really fucking hate Ramon, and you're like, I don't want Ramon touching
my
pizza.
I don't want that pizza. With his hands all over my shit.
Yeah, he already took my girlfriend.
I know what he does in the bathroom.
Yeah, right. I know he doesn't wash. Anyway, in conclusion, I cannot wait for the Domino's PS3 app.
Lord.
the Little Caesars Wii U app. And yeah, so next up, I actually didn't even read your feature, but I'll have to do that. I'll have to do it. No, I just knew based on the Twitter. Next up, Daily Five Developers. Tell us about
okay,
that.
Okay, so for anyone who doesn't know, we do a Daily Five on the website, a quick list of five things, pretty just five things throughout the industry, and one of my favorite ones for it last week was developers to watch, because you know there's all this snark and sarcasm. It's basically the official language of the internet and the gaming public at large, especially with the companies like EA and Activision doing everything possible to make sure that you're treated as a consumer and nothing more. Basically, I wanted to highlight some of the smaller companies doing right by their fans.
I actually haven't seen the list. What do you have on the list?
I'll be happy to go through the list for the sake of exposing these fine developers that I like a lot.
Yeah. Normally, we wouldn't always go through the list. But
let's see. So, we've got Drinkbox Studios. They did Guacamelee most recently. They also did Mutant Blobs Attack on the PS Vita. And incidentally, those are the fourth and fifth most highly rated games on the system. And you can get both for less than $20 combined. So that says a lot for what they can do over there. Yeah, like they make a game. They make games with a lot of personality, really cool cartoony art styles. Guacamelee especially is this really fun take on the Day of the Dead. Just really great stuff. Minority Media, they did Papuinyo, which was a very emotionally charged game. Just came out on Steam, I think, last week. And it's actually a very flawed game, technically, but the game has just so much heart. And, like, for me, like, that was, it was, just, it was the sum was greater. It was greater than the sum of its parts, basically.
Well, that's almost better, I think. Because, I mean, yeah, obviously it's great if you can, you know, tweak your game so that it feels flawless, but there to have that level of, like, heart to something is not easy to do for a game. And for it to be, to have so much heart that it outweighs the negatives, I think is even more impressive than just tweaking your game to perfection.
Do you know anything about Papuinyo or no?
I really don't. Like, I read some of the reviews, and they were kind of mixed, mostly positive, but not, like, insanely positive.
Yeah, so, I mean, what it is that studio founder, Vander Caballero, his experience growing up was that he had an abusive alcoholic father, and that's pretty much what the game is. It's just a giant metaphor for, like, you play as this kid, and you're followed around by this big pink monster. His name is Monster, and for the most part, he's mild-mannered, but once he licks these, like, frogs that he finds addictive, he just goes into this murderous rage and starts attacking you. And it's great stuff. Yeah,
wow.
Really, really powerful stuff.
That's really profound.
Yeah, it's yeah. Check it out on Steam if you can, or on PS3. It's on PSN there.
That's almost like Braid.
I like it more than Braid.
Well, because I'm just saying, because Braid was, a lot of people saw it as like a metaphor for, like, the creation of the atomic bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the whole thing was a metaphor. That's really interesting. I'll have to look at that, because that's, I mean, you don't see games tackling stuff like that
often. Yeah, and, yeah, by the end of the game, I was just ruined.
Oh, really? It's, like, depressing.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, wow, okay. I mean, like, I was pretty much bawling like an idiot. I was like, oh, man. And their next
game. Yeah, when's the last time a game made someone cry?
Like, I've cried at a few games, but never so profusely, I guess. And their next game, it's called Silent Enemy. And that's going to be another difficult subject, I guess, to tackle. It's going to be about...
No,
it's about design director Ruben Ferris's struggle with bullying and isolation growing up as a kid. And for now, that's being developed on iOS, although they're looking at porting it to other systems, which I would imagine includes the PS3 and PC.
Yeah, now I can see why you put him on the list, because tackling bullying and, like, isolation and the sense of loneliness and then alcoholism is, like, it really does show you that games are an art form and that you can put out stuff more in line with, like, a film or a piece of literature.
Right.
That it's not just relegated to action stories and just, you know, dumb shootouts and everything. That there really is a lot of depth you can get from a video game.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, they're a good bunch of people over there, for sure. I interact with them on Twitter a lot. They're good people. Let's see. Next was Supergiant Games. They did Bastion over on XBLA and later Steam and a Google Chrome app somehow.
That's interesting.
Yeah, have you seen Braid, or not Braid, Bastion at all? Have you heard of it?
I know. I think it won a VGA last year, right?
It came out in 2011, so I'm...
Oh, so the year before then.
I'm not sure if it's Spike VGA accolades, but... it was an action RPG. It was super addictive to play. It was beautiful to look at and had a wonderful, wonderful soundtrack, including, you know, the brilliant music and the game's narrator, which people just absolutely fall head over heels over. And that's a really great game. And then they recently revealed Transistor, which is another action RPG. It's not a sequel,
yeah,
but, you know, it's got a sci-fi setting in sci-fi setting instead. But it was playable at PAX East last month. Also looks gorgeous. It's coming out in 2014. They haven't announced any platforms yet. But considering that both of these games are made by a team of 9 people, super impressive stuff.
Yeah, I never played Bastion. It looked cool, and Transistor does look pretty cool as well.
Do you have Spotify at all?
I do. Are you talking about the Bastion soundtrack?
Yeah, it's on there.
I have listened to that. I actually have listened to that, and it's very good. And I imagine it's even better once you get the context of the actual game, you know, when you can hear it in the game. But alone, it was very nice to listen to. Because I think that was also nominated for a VGA.
Right.
And when I was looking through the nominees, I said, might as well just listen to all these. So I did.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was great.
Wonderful stuff. Let's see. Next up was Denaton Games, a two-man operation. These teams are getting smaller and smaller. Two-man operation between Jonathan Soderstrom and Dennis Wedley. What is it? Whedon? I believe they're very European. They did Hotline Miami on PC. They're currently porting it over to PS3 and PS Vita as a cross-buy title. And it's basically this crazy-ass, top-down, hyper-violent game where you kind of have to clear out a room and pretty much murder everybody in, like, an apartment or something. And you're just as vulnerable as the enemies inside are, so you die a lot, but you restart very quickly. And it's got an amazing 80s soundtrack as well that I linked to.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard that, any of the music there.
Yeah, no, I've played Hotline Miami.
Yeah, and it's this great commentary on, like, just violence for the sake of violence, because, I mean, you get these, like, phone messages in your apartment, and you just kind of... You get these cryptic messages basically telling you to go murder everybody in the room, and you're like, okay. And you just
Right, and there's really not much
and you
more
just
to
go
that.
Do it.
And it's and it's almost like saying this guy is like a video game player, because the video games are just saying, you know, just kill these people. And a lot of times, a lot of games, you just kind of do it without really thinking about it. Like, I know something that you've always talked about was like Uncharted, how Nathan Drake mows people down and has like not even the tiniest inkling
right.
of like a conscience about it. And it is one of those things. They just tell you to kill people and you do it. You don't think about it. I played it because my friend basically told me it was, I don't know if you've seen the film Drive with Ryan Gosling.
I have not. I've been meaning to, and I keep forgetting or just keep.
Very good film. And my friend basically said it's Drive, the video game, because Drive also has an 80s inspired soundtrack. It has those visuals. It's very violent. And you're not playing a hitman in that. You're playing a getaway driver, but you're still kind of playing a sort of a high class criminal. And yeah, I mean, I think it was a really interesting game to play. And the last developer
is Playdead, who did Limbo in 2010 on XBLA, and they later ported it to PS3 and Steam. And they just recently announced the Vita port of the game. And it's just... Did you ever play Limbo?
I love Limbo.
Right. The game was like... You know, it's a super moody, like, black and white game. It kind of bordered on horror. But it was also just a, kind of like this puzzle platformer. Just really weird and interesting game, but really well done.
Yeah, it was gruesome. Like, the kid could die in very gruesome ways. But the thing was, it's all silhouetted, so it's not, like, it's not terrible. But you can see, like, little shadowy limbs flying off sometimes.
Right. I mean, just, this, like, the iconic, you know, giant spider near the very beginning of the game. That was,
yes.
like, one of the creepiest things. I was like, holy shit, what do I do? Like, I can barely even see where I'm going. It's like, ah.
Yeah, I don't know if it is kind of horror. I wouldn't say it's scary. It's eerie.
Yeah.
It's eerie and like you said, gloomy or moody, you said. Yeah. It's so much fun. The puzzles are perfect because it's one of those things where it's not too difficult.
Just hard enough for you to feel super rewarded when you figure it out.
But not enough to feel frustrated
yeah.
and spend hours on it. You can, and it's a short game too. I mean, you can clear the game for the first time probably in 8 hours. If you, the second time you play, I think I played it twice, maybe 3 times because I went to go look for collectibles. I think there are like 12 collectibles scattered around or something like that. Some number like that. 10, 12, something. And if you already know the puzzles, you can blaze through it in like 4 hours.
Yep.
But it's really cool. And I also love the amount of like user, like the user theories about what it all means. I don't know if you've read some of those. So one of them is that, you know, because you're the boy looking for his sister. One of them is that they were both in a car accident.
Oh, right. And, I think I've heard this one.
And she's dead, but he's like in purgatory. And that's the significance of at the end when you smash through that glass window.
No, so just the word
at the end.
Just the title, Limbo.
Limbo, right. You're in purgatory. And the smashing through the glass is symbolic of, like, you know, the car crash. I think it's so cool because it is so mysterious and there's so much meaning you could find, like Papo and Yo, Braid. I think it's one of the best games of the generation, comparable to even like the $60 games, and Limbo is $15.
Word.
So yeah, I could go on forever about how much I love it, but I won't, because I am exhibiting self-control. I'm not exhibiting self-control. You mentioned Hotline Miami, how it never gets frustrating,
right?
because you respawn pretty instantly, you know, right where you were. It's pretty much the same with Limbo. You never really have to repeat anything when you die. You die, you kind of just start at the beginning of the puzzle. It never gets frustrating when you die. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention that. Okay, and one last thing, and then we're done.
Yeah, another top five that I did, or daily five, was that I remembered DuckTales. Remember DuckTales? They had a remastered version announced over at PAX East last month. And
yes,
you know what? DuckTales is a fine game and all, but it's not the only game deserving of a remaster. So I looked at five other games that did across both not only the NES, but also the SNES. And I made a list of them, and there they are for you to look at. It's over on SaucyBox.com. I don't know if we want to go over them now.
Yeah, we can. I mean, we're probably over, like, our usual
time.
Yeah,
we are, actually. So,
yeah,
it's worth
mentioning
because it's a cool list, I think. It's, check it out over on SaucyBox.com.
Yeah, I'm looking through it now. It's cool. Few ones I wouldn't have thought of, but
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that, like, given how often we're doing like the HD re-releases, that games don't get remastered a lot more, especially the retro ones, because like they did that with Bionic Commando, and Bionic Commando Rearmed was
amazing.
Awesome.
Game, one of my favorite games of, yeah, what was it, 2009,
08, 09, something like that. Yeah, way better than the 3D Bionic.
Oh yeah, that came out like right after, from the same developer too. And
yeah.
Oh man, that soundtrack, Simon Vicklund, he remastered that soundtrack, and boy oh boy, that thing is perfect.
Did you ever play the second one? I didn't play the second one.
I actually don't remember if I even bought it, but I haven't. Either way, I know I haven't played it.
I love how all the trailers, they emphasize, like, you can jump now.
Yeah, it's like, I think that actually kind of turned me off a little bit. I was like, I don't want to have to jump.
Yeah, that's kind of what makes it unique and adds a little bit of challenge to it, because you can't just, because there are obstacles, and if you can jump, you can just jump
right
over them. But
well, here you got to figure out, you know.
You got to swing, yeah. You got to find like a point where you can swing and everything. Yeah.
2008.
Fantastic.
That was when it came out.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that was a great game. Anyway, that's a wrap.
That is a wrap. This has been This Side Up, Episode 5, official podcast of StealthyBox.com. You can check us out there. You can check us out on Twitter, at StealthyBoxes. You can check us out on Facebook.com/StealthyBox. And we're also on YouTube at StealthyBoxTV. You can find me on Twitter at Wants23.
Yeah, I'm Twitter at TheCinemaJack. Krista is Cosmix Love. That's with an X, Cosmix. And we're packing it in.
We are. Let's see. What am I doing this week?
I got to say, we're packing it in.
Let's see, I don't have any reviews coming, but I did do an interview with Ed Boon and the creative director over at NetherRealm Studios, and as well as the art director there. I forget his name. I'm not going to butcher it, trying to look it up. But yeah, did a roundtable discussion there. I'm going to have to transcribe it, see what I can get out of it. But any and all coverage out of that will be up later this week.
All right. Cool.
All right. So we are finished, sir.